This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this, checking my calendar. Oh, it's Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton, and it is such a challenge. You know, you always love a day off, but the problem with the day off is it throws everything out of whack, and you have to work a little bit harder on both ends to make up for it.
Yeah, of course, Memorial Day weekend, and remembering all who served and the ultimate sacrifice in that regard, the men and women who have served us so that we are free to do a radio show like this and share our opinions. So we don't do a show on Friday, so it was kind of like, what day is it? What do I have to do? But it is Tuesday. It is Tuesday, and you know what that means.
It's not Election Tuesday. That's a good thing.
Nope, that was last week. Okay, saints be praised. That's over with. It's Real Estate Insights with Amy McLeod. Amy McLeod, how are you?
I'm good. I'm
fired up and ready
here.
To go?
I'm fired up and ready to go.
Of course, Amy McLeod with the McLeod Group, Keller Williams. We meet with Amy twice a month to talk about all things real estate. So, did you have a nice long weekend, first of all? Or do you, realtors, you guys never stop working. You're kind of always on the clock.
Well, yeah, we're sort of. I mean, yeah. COVID really taught us some good lessons about how to work mm-hmm. remote. So mm-hmm. that's what I did this weekend. I was working a little bit remote. So, yeah.
All right. We typically start out with you when you lay some stats on us on kind of like what's been happening since we were away.
Well, this is an interesting year. It's been very, very interesting this first, basically for us, nearly the first half of the year. I can't even believe it.
I know. Gosh.
Yeah. At 2026 right now, year to date, we've had 2,305 sales. That's 49 less than we had in 2025. Based on the hesitancy that I've seen, I would have expected it to be more than that. Now, that's across four counties. So mm-hmm. keep in mind, it also represents, we say, the number of sales. And so actually, we've got a buyer and a seller. So there's two sides to that for us. That is pretty consistently. This is our fourth year in this sort of volume of sales. At this time, in 2023, we were at 2398. 2024, we went to 2429. 2025, we were at 2354, and now we're at 2305. So of the 4 years, this is the lowest, and we all know why. It's down 2% over 2025. And what that looks like, the average, it's, of course, affecting our average sales price. I should first say that our top sales term for the year is conventional financing, followed by cash, which... conventional is at 1,084 and our cash deals are at 557. Mm. So that's always kind of interesting to me. And then that's followed by FHA and then VA, and barely noticeable is USDA, mostly because of the price points. The income limitations there, it's tough for those people to find houses. A couple of trust deeds, 10 of them so far this year, and 13 land sale contracts. Now, price-wise, when we look at Kaiser, so far this year, we're average of $474,000. These all have change on them. So that's down about 1% over 2025. Central area, which was always such a strong point for us, average sales price $342,000. That is down 3.6%, down from $362,000. So that's, those first-time home buyers. That's showing us that they need help with closing costs, down payment. They cannot tolerate higher prices as our interest rates have inched up. In northeast Salem, that's over east of Lancaster, north of State Street, $432,000, that's down 3%. And then on the south end of that, of Lancaster, $453,000 is up 1%, but that's where we've got some new construction, D.R. Horton, going in there. Southeast, which is kind of over in the Battle Creek area, Costco, sort of that area, it's neutral. 525 last year, 523 this year. But if we go over to the south side, that has increased 2% from 574 to 586. Neutral in West Salem, which is frankly a little surprising. We see the most inventory in West Salem. We're nearly at 5 months of inventory in West Salem.
But go ahead. Nothing's changing?
Prices are holding. So this is prices. Then we go into Linn County. They're up 1%, 455 to 461. Marion County is down 2.5%. So remember, that was kind of a driving force last year as people were leaving the city. That may change given what happened last week. And then Polk County is down 2.4%. So again, same thing. We saw it moving out of the city into the counties, but now that seems to have tempered. Overall, we're about flat. Okay. When we look at the most dominant price point over the last 12 months, not this year to date, but the last 12 months, we've had about almost 6,000 sales. And from the price point of $300,000 to $550,000, nearly 67% of all sales are occurring in that price range. So if you're in that price range, based on the increase in sales prices, don't presume that, you know, this is like 2021 or 2022. Presume that you're probably luckier than those people in the 800,000. 860 to over, you know, over a million, where they're only at, you know, about 30% of sales. So they're, you know, in those price points, we're looking for, just give us an offer, please. If you're 560 to 800, you're about 22% of the market, 1,305 sales in the last year. When we look at days on the market, in that hot price point, 300 to 550, average of 89 days. So it's still taking, you know, basically if we got 45 to 60 days, it's still taking a month and a half to get an offer. As we move up the scale from 560 to $810,000, it's 110 days. So you see we're adding another month.
Yeah, yeah.
And then above that, it's an average of 165 days. So literally two more months added on to that. In terms of active properties on the market, 49% of our properties are in the 300 to 550 price range. But remember, that's where 67% of the sales are. And then we have 477 houses are from 560 up to 810. And then it jumps to 860 to 3 million. There's only 283. If you're over that 860 price point, if you're 1 million to 1.25 million, you got a better chance out of four counties in the last year, what's currently active, there's 76 houses. But if you're in that 960 to 999, 28 listings are there. But conversely, only 25 in the entire year sold across four counties. Wow. So that is a very, very tough price point. So all that to say is that, you know, this has been a really challenging opening to the market. With, you know, we thought we knew where we were at about 6.25 first part of the year. And then February 28th, when we went into the Straits of Hormuz, it has dramatically impacted the market. So people have to keep in mind that as the feds and people setting interest rates worry about inflation, interest rates go up. So today,
what is it today?
We were sitting at about 6.25 the first of the year. And so now today, when I started the morning, it was at 6.65. It's now dropped to 6.61 with the attack that we had on Iran. And I saw that the oil prices were down to $93 a barrel. So you see that feeds heavily into inflation. So
is that an actual thing or is that a perception thing?
it is both. I think it's an actual thing on the part of, say, the Fed. They are really watching that. It's the inverse. So if we have a great jobs report, yay, woohoo. The way the Feds look at that is, oh, more people have money to spend, that will cause inflation. And so you might see interest rates creep up. Whereas if we get, you know, less jobs than we were expecting, and then those things that cause the consumer price index to increase, they look at all of those things because, of course, especially oil is attached to everything.
Yes,
it is. You know, your clothes, your food, they're all delivered. There are some of your clothes are made with petroleum products. So as those prices go up, the Feds anticipate, ooh, we're going to go into an inflationary period. And in fact, we did when the CPI came out. It was over 3.
Yeah.
The only people who appreciate that are landlords in Oregon who can have a maximum of 10% rate increase depending on the CPI. So if it's 3% or more, they have the ability to increase rent the full 10%.
Oh, joy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that's all. That's interesting. That's interesting. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back. And, you know, speaking of things getting more expensive, you know, everyone, the talk is always about affordable housing. So we're going to talk about a new project.
Yeah. And I got some hope.
Yeah, which is very cool. So again, we're talking to Amy McLeod with the McLeod Group, Keller Williams. This is Real Estate Insights Tuesday, and you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care in Color Tile of Salem.
All right, we're talking all things real estate with Amy McLeod. So yeah, affordable housing, buzzword, woo, we hear it all the time. Everybody talks about it. Politicians run on it. Well, you know, let's talk some real stuff.
Oh, I'm so excited.
How does it work?
I haven't been this excited about a project in real estate in a long time, because we do hear a lot these days about Oregon's housing shortage.
Yes.
But what does that really mean for everyday people, Denise?
Yes.
I mean, it means teachers, nurses, first responders, retirees, and young families are increasingly priced out of the communities they love. And it means fewer opportunities for first-time homebuyers. And it means that we need to start thinking differently about how we build neighborhoods. So let me ask you this, Denise. When you drive through older neighborhoods in Salem, do you ever notice how much unused space sits on large city lots?
Okay. I do.
Well, that's exactly the conversation that's happening across Oregon right now, because for decades, most residential zoning allowed just one home on a city lot. But as housing prices have climbed and inventory has tightened and buildable land has shrunk, state leaders realized that we needed more housing choices and not just giant apartment complexes or sprawling subdivisions. And that led to an important housing bill that Oregon passed in 2019, House Bill 2001. It essentially legalized what planners call middle housing in many Oregon cities, and it requires cities to allow duplexes, triplexes, quadplexes, townhomes, and cottage clusters in areas that once were limited to only detached single-family homes. So in plain English, that means Oregon communities can now create smaller, more attainable homes in established neighborhoods while preserving the feel and character that people still value.
Okay.
And honestly, that's where some exciting innovation is starting to happen right here in Salem. So thanks to the innovative and forward thinking of Chris Blackburn and Chris Anderson at Clutch Industries, there's a brand new cottage community on the corner of Gilbert and Sherman in the Candelaria neighborhood.
Ooh.
The community features 11 thoughtfully designed homes on a beautifully treed lot that is very, very large, and it captures all the best of this location in South Salem. So let me ask you, does it feel like to you, Denise, that people today are craving community more than ever?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. That idea is actually central to this project. The community is heavily inspired by the work of a nationally known architect and urbanist, Ross Chapin, who has spent years promoting cottage housing as a better way to build neighborhoods. His philosophy focused on human scale living, shared green space, walkability, and homes designed to encourage natural interaction between neighbors. And the South Haven cottages are designed with exactly those principles in mind. So each home will be approximately 750 to 800 smart square feet. There's not a hall in either design. And they're designed to live much larger thanks to soaring vaulted ceilings and abundance of windows that allow natural light to stream through the home. The finishes include solid surface countertops, stainless steel appliances, luxury plank vinyl flooring, and modern durable materials designed for both beauty and practicality. The floor plans are incredibly flexible with a main floor bedroom and bath, so that's good for our seniors, plus an upstairs bonus room that could function as a second bedroom, office, studio, or grandbaby guest room. And honestly, one of the most charming features is the front porches that overlook a central green space.
That front porches, yep.
Yep, and that creates opportunities for neighbors to actually know one another. And what I also love about what they've done in honoring the neighbors that are there, they've created off-street parking, thoughtful landscaping, and a design approach that feels intentional instead of just jammed in, mm-hmm. you know, half-heartedly.
Sure.
So let me ask you this. What if more housing developments actually partnered with people to help them ease into homeownership instead of expecting them to do it all alone? What do you think about that?
As far as working with them like your team does all the way through so that it's a little bit of hand-holding?
Well, more than that, a unique feature of this project is that the cottages will initially be offered on a rent-to-own basis.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a little different.
Nobody's doing that. Well, the city, county, and state finalized portions of the approval process tied to the innovative housing model. Future residents will be asked to come up with a fully refundable deposit equal to a minimum down payment. And then during the time we're waiting on the state, county, and city to do their work, residents will receive a $500 a month credit from their rent towards future closing costs or additional down payment once the homes are ready to close. So in addition to that, our lender will be offering incentives to assist with closing costs or the choice to buy the interest rate down. And the projected pricing is expected to fall somewhere in the high 300s with monthly payments, frankly, not much more than one would expect to pay for a new luxury apartment, especially if you look at landlords can raise the rent now 10%.
Right, right. So this would be something that would be a known cost that's fixed.
Correct. And the formula is creating a more attainable ownership opportunity in one of Salem's most desirable neighborhoods.
Well, you said Candelaria, and I went, Yeah.
So, Oregon's housing challenges aren't going to be solved with just one project or one piece of legislation, but House Bill 2001 has opened the door for creative solutions that simply weren't possible before. And frankly, Clutch Industry is working on two or three more projects to follow this one. They're smaller homes, smarter land use, shared green space, walkable communities, and housing choices that fit more stages of life. And the South Haven Cottage community in Candelaria represents what thoughtful housing can look like when innovative legislation, a bold developer, and a community-centered design come together.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, and it gives especially those first-time homebuyers an opportunity. We've talked about this before, to get in and start. You have to be in the game.
Yeah.
You're not. And the game is you got to have your piece of the inflation pie. So this project reminds us that affordable housing doesn't have to mean sacrificing beauty or neighborhood character or quality of life. Sometimes it just means building differently and building smarter. So if any of our listeners here think this might be the project for them or someone they know who could use help getting in the housing market under some reasonable conditions, then we want to encourage them to call our office so we can share details. Get them on the list to
Where are we at? And is it done? Is it in the process of being built? It's past the this is a great idea stage.
Oh, it's past that. They're built. Okay. They're completed. We are ready to take applications. We will have a process for the rent to own. Mm-hmm. We're ready to rock and roll. Like, call us today.
Well, I'm really curious about that because number one, that neighborhood has always been a very desirable neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Ever since, I mean, I lived in Salem for many, 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 many years, and I know that is the case with Candelaria. Yeah. this concept is interesting. And then the front porch, I know a lot in the past they've tried to do the front porch thing. Has this model been tried in other cities, and do they have anecdotes and success rates to talk about, or is this like brand spanking new idea?
Well,
never
you
been
know,
tried before?
This type of living goes back to the 1930s and 40s. We have
well, that's how
examples.
We all used to live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We used to have, we can see them around town, but frankly, the neighborhood I lived in has several cottage clusters.
Yeah.
And it's it can be a good experience. I really like what these guys did with the off-street parking.
I'm so curious to look at this. I want to link that. I want to put that in the show notes for people, because I want to go check it out too, because I think that's an interesting concept. Uh-huh. It'll be interesting if people can get off their phones long enough to talk with their neighbors, though. You're going to have to make some changes here, people. You've got to be a little social.
It works. I live it.
Well, didn't they call it, didn't they kind of refer to that as the family compound mentality, where you have, you know.
It would be a fantastic family compound without common walls. Everyone has their privacy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it sounds like it's very thoughtfully landscaped in the green spaces. And it's, and again, that's a nice older established neighborhood too. So yeah. It's not like plopping houses down and you got to wait 15, 20 years for the trees to grow.
No, it's there. It's well, and it's one of your supporters here, Green Acres Landscaping. Mm-hmm. Did the landscape there. They always do a beautiful job, just beautiful. Rich Duncan is part of the project. Yeah.
Nice.
So there's some fantastic people partnering up with Clutch Industries.
I've been seeing a lot more Clutch signs around town. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say that, you know, in that rent to own mentality actually sounds like affordable housing, where I always hear that word thrown around and I'm like, you don't really know what that means, do you?
There it is.
No, that's exciting. That's exciting. We'll link it all up in show notes. Okay, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're talking all things real estate with Amy McLeod from the McLeod Group, Keller Williams. So we just heard about an exciting project in South Salem. Which is cool, which I think that's interesting. I like outside the box thinking. And like you said, Hunter, too, that kind of that rent to own model, you don't really hear about that very often. And so that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I've always had the mentality. I always hear, you know, we're doing this and it's going to be affordable housing. I've talked to people and I'm sitting there going, and one that really sticks out, when I was living in Central Oregon, 12, 13, whatever years ago it was, I looked at, they were building a 4-story apartment complex. And they said, you know, it's affordable housing. If you can buy the condos on the top floor, if you make $150,000 a year, and you can rent any of these apartments if you make $75,000 a year. And I'm going, but wait, the average salary in Central Oregon at the time was only around $30,000. So I'm going, that doesn't sound affordable for the community when it's the average wage people are making.
So it sounds like a little more thought's gone into this one. So then I'm thinking, too, because you were talking about first-time home buyers, but you've got the other side of that where you may have folks that are looking to downsize and want to live small and want to live in a community like that, a little older. And now they've got this McMansion or this big old house they've got, and they've been in forever, and they need to sell it, and they're selling it in a summer market.
Well, nationally, our number one buyer group is single women. And this is such a perfect project for single women, because you have that security of neighbors. Not a lot of maintenance, you know.
That sounds great.
I know.
So if you're having to sell and you're wanting to downsize, but you're going to be selling now, is there something unique about a summer market that there might be some challenges that we haven't thought about?
Well, you know, for sellers, they want to know how to win in any market. And summer is one of the busiest times in real estate, but it's also one of the most competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're seeing inventory increase, and a lot of sellers assume that because it's summer, they can simply put a sign in the yard and buyers will come running. But today's market's different. Buyers are active right now. We saw an increase in loan applications, and my team and I were discussing that today, going, huh, that's interesting. Our lender partner has seen an increase in loan applications, but like I just gave you the stats, we're not seeing it show up. So, they're active, but they're also cautious, selective, and very price aware. So the question becomes, how do you stand out and actually win as a seller in this summer? And the first thing sellers need to understand is this, that buyers have more choices today than they did a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And during the crazy market, homes sold in hours and buyers were waiving everything. That's not the norm anymore. And today they're taking a little more time. They're comparing homes, they're negotiating, and they're expecting value. So that means presentation matters more than ever. It's been really interesting. As a realtor, I end up in this position of, do you want me to tell you what you want to hear or what you need to hear? So what you need to hear is that nobody wants your daughter's Pepto-Bismol pink bedroom. Please paint it.
What? It's so pretty. I love it. I worked so hard on it.
Well, then I guess you'll get to keep it. Mm-hmm. So summers give sellers a huge advantage because homes naturally show better. The grass is green. Flowers are blooming. Patios and decks become usable living space as long as you stage them.
Yes.
The curb appeal is huge in the summer. So you can't let your grass go brown. Their buyers decide how they feel about a home before they even walk through the front door. So making sure your beds are clean, bushes are trimmed, clean entry, flowers, you know, those small things create an emotional connection. Another big tip is you got to keep the house cool. It sounds simple, but if buyers walk into a hot house during a 90 degree day, it immediately creates a negative feeling. Oh, this is what we're going to have to put up with. And comfort matters. So even if you have to buy like a small window unit that can take the temperature down, that is a wise thing to do. Outdoor spaces, major selling point. So buyers are imagining barbecues, family gatherings. So stage the lifestyle, not just the property. Now, here's the biggest mistake sellers are making right now. It's overpricing. There's still a mindset out there from a couple of years ago. Well, my neighbor got this. Well, check with your realtor. When did your neighbor? Because even your neighbor who just sold in January that wasn't affected by the Straits of Hormuz, that's a different market than right now. So the danger is the longer a home sits on the market, the more buyers start wondering what's wrong with it. Agents start assuming you're a seller who isn't reasonable. I just had an experience this weekend. They wrote a contingent offer on my listing. We looked, they'd been at the same price for 2.5 weeks. And I called the agent and said, hey, is she, we just dropped 15,000. Is she willing to drop 15,000? And oh, by the way, her house looks like an old grandma house. Could she declutter it a little bit of all the chachi? And the response was, oh, we know. When we get back from Memorial Day, we'll drop, you know, she'll consider, we'll have a conversation about dropping the price. And, you know, she just really doesn't want to clear her things. Well, my seller's my seller very quickly said, no, we're not taking your offer.
I just don't get that. Gosh, I don't get that. Anyway.
Homes getting the strongest activity right now are the homes priced correctly from day one. If we can figure, you know, it's not an exact science. But many sellers lose more money by starting too high and then reducing later. So the old days of let's try it, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I would really look at what your realtor is seeing and start at that starting point. And then if it doesn't move, you've got to move an amount that matters to the buyer. And for our average price point around $465,000, that's $15,000. Because at $6 per thousand, that's about $100. So... another important strategy is professional marketing, of course. So this is not the market for dark cell phone photos. If you have an agent that's not sending out a professional photographer, find another one. Summer lighting is beautiful and sellers want to capitalize on that with professional photography. Great photos stop buyers mid-scroll online. And when there's a, I've been shopping myself, as I've shared. These agents are putting these houses out there where I'm shopping with one photo. And I'm like, I'm just mad. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? Like you could have held this back a couple days. So a strong online presentation can literally determine whether buyer's schedule is showing or skip to the next listing. So if we're skipping for the 2 or 3 or 4 days that you're waiting for your photographer and then you get around to uploading it, well, now you've burned through a week where buyers have just ignored your house. And so that shows in your days on the market. Timing also matters. So families want to move before the new school year begins. And that means there's urgency in the summer season. So get your house onto the market right away so that they can have time to write the offer, close, and get moved before school starts. And then let's talk about flexibility. Today's successful sellers are willing to negotiate. It doesn't mean you're going to give your house away, but you got to be in this market to win it, or don't get in.
Yeah.
You got to think about, you're probably going to be asked to help with closing costs, offering a rate buy down, maybe being flexible on possession date, maybe painting that, you know, Pepto-Bismol pink bedroom. Small concessions can keep the deal together and help you net more money. Preparation matters more today than your speed to the market. So in the frenzy market, almost anything sells. Today, buyers are noticing deferred maintenance. We still have deferred maintenance from the COVID, or sorry, yeah, when the mark, when the, sorry, from the Great Recession.
Mm-mm.
So 20 years of deferred maintenance, because if my house isn't going up in value, I'm not going to fix it. That's starting to show up in repair bills that are $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
And I can't believe you said that's 20 years ago, but you're right. That's like 2008.
Yeah, yeah. Stop 18 it, years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So while summer buyers are out there touring, the sellers really now have to ask, does my house stand out in a positive way? And honestly, these things are what great real estate has always been about.
Yeah.
You know, this is it.
Well, yeah, make those cosmetic changes. And, you know, you talk about the Pepto-Bismol wall, or the one, you know, we've had conversations, I think, even with Anna, the last time she was on, talking about the people that are so married to their design aesthetic that it's like there's this mental block between, you love it, yes, but the rest of the world isn't going to appreciate that, and they can't cover it. It's such an odd thing. It's like, do you not want to sell? I don't understand that. I mean, well, yeah, okay, you bite, grit your teeth and cover it. I love it. Take a lot of pictures of it, but cover it up.
Well, and I think clearly understanding that no realtor wants to come and tell you your decorating sucks. Yeah. Nobody wants to do that. We don't. It's very hard for us to do that. So that's why we've adopted this saying of, do you want me to tell you what you need to hear, what you want to hear?
Yeah.
Because you need to give your realtor permission to tell you, because I mean, a lot of us, I mean, I've heard in the past before where sellers would say to me, well, Amy, we decided to go with another realtor because you just seem kind of negative about the property. Was I negative, or am I somebody who's in 100 transactions a year and I hear everything that buyers are saying? And I'm trying to communicate to you that this is not going to work for them. And so you'll sit. Because we've raised a generation. I keep emphasizing this every time we talk. This generation of buyers, our millennials, do you realize, I was at a conference, they're no longer kids these days.
No, they're not.
They're 40. They're grown-ups. And they are our first-time home buyers, and they have been raised and continue to watch. I just spent the weekend watching HGTV with my 40-something adult children. And that's what they expect. So no, you can't get away with, well, if they don't like it, they can paint it. No, that's not the market we're in.
DIY is not really that much of a thing anymore.
Not at all.
No. And then even on the other end of the spectrum, the older, I don't want to be dealing with that either. And so, I mean, I think what we grew up with was, you know, buy the ugliest house in the nicest neighborhood, and then you can fix it up and sort of rise up. And not so much anymore.
No.
And I do miss color, because there's been sort of a dearth of it. It's really come down. I'm really done with the gray and the white stuff.
Me too.
And when you look back, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, we had so much more color in the world. So I get that. But you want your buyer to do all that in your house. Leave them a nice clean palette that they can be their whimsical, colorful selves.
Right. Yeah. And then you got to paint it. You know, I have a yellow wall in my house. It's an accent wall. And I know when we get ready to sell, we will be painting that, because it's not going to be somebody else's taste. It's just not.
Yeah.
So whether you're in the gray family or the brown family, it really needs to be a neutral palette so they can build out and envision. If you have your big, you know, mural on the wall, they can't envision themselves living there.
Well, wait, don't you want to be able to come back 15 years from now, knock on that stranger's door and say, I want to show my grandchild, you know, the mural that we had in this house when they were born?
That would be the one.
You got to tell them it's like it's this really super famous artist that put it in there, and it's worth millions.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Don't put Agreeable Gray over that.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. We're going to take our last break again. We're talking all things real estate with Amy McLeod, and you are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. So now, let's see. You're on the other side of the equation. You're out there looking to buy, and it's summer, and everyone, you've got these beautiful houses with all their nice neutral palettes. Everything's wonderful. What do you do? How are you going to go out there in the market and not overpay?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. So let me ask you a question back. Do you think people feel more pressure to buy during the summer because everybody else seems to be shopping too?
Yes, it's like the group mentality. It's like, it's what all the cool kids are doing. Everybody's buying this summer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes, and that's exactly what happens. Buyers start seeing moving trucks everywhere, hearing stories from friends, scrolling through listings online constantly, and it feels like if they don't act immediately, they're going to miss out. But here's the interesting thing about today's market. Mm-hmm. Buyers actually have more opportunity than they realized. So a couple of years ago, we know they had no leverage. And but today's market is so different. If you're qualified and you have cash and you can handle a 6.61 interest rate, buyers can afford to take a little bit more time and compare houses more carefully. So that's a huge shift. And one of the biggest mistakes they make during the summer is confusing urgency with strategy. So busy doesn't mean every house is worth overpaying for it. The smartest buyers right now are the ones staying calm and doing their homework. And I think this is different. Something different that a lot of listeners can relate to, Denise, is buying a house is emotional.
Oh, yeah.
So people walk into a beautiful kitchen or see a backyard they love and suddenly logic disappears. So have you ever walked into a house and immediately started imagining yourself living there?
I smiled when you said that because you walk in and you're, I could see myself cooking paella in here with a glass of Malbec. Oh,
yeah.
This feels like home.
Yeah, and you do that for the whole family at Christmas, right? Or Thanksgiving.
Oh, all the time, all the parties I would have.
Yeah, well, that happens to buyers all the time. They start picturing holidays, family dinners, the patio, and suddenly they're willing to stretch their budget emotionally. But today's buyers really need to focus on the monthly payment, not just the pricing tag. So that's why we want all of our buyers pre-approved with Elizabeth at Success Mortgage so that we know what we're dealing with. And then getting pre-approved before you're shopping, then it makes you a stronger buyer because financially, you know what your limits are. We don't want to go above that. We can always go below. Mm-hmm. And the other thing to realize is that not every house is flying off the market anymore. So some homes are sitting longer because they're overpriced, and that creates opportunities for buyers. So in today's market, buyers may be able to negotiate closing costs, repairs, appliances, interest rate buy downs, and even price reductions. I know my strategy, I'm getting ready to head to Arizona to buy a rental down there that may become my personal residence in a couple of years. And I'm looking for the houses that have been sitting on the market for a certain amount of days.
Yeah.
Because I know what their thought process is, and that should be a warning to our sellers here. So obviously the best homes still move quickly. If a house is priced correctly and shows well, it's going to attract attention and be gone. So don't get over greedy either. If I know your market, talk to your realtor. They can run a market analysis on any house. That's what I'm doing. If the house is priced right, then pay the price and maybe ask for closing costs just as a test. So let's talk for about interest rates for a second, because I know that's something else making buyers nervous.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are waiting and hoping rates will suddenly drop. But here's the challenge. If rates fall significantly, a whole new wave of buyers may jump back into the market because they've got qualified, and more buyers means more competition. And then we're back in that market we were in just a couple of years ago. So trying to perfectly time the market will, for the most part, backfire. A better approach is let's find a payment you can afford. If the house fits your lifestyle, are you planning to stay in long enough to make sense financially? Because you secure the price, but then if interest rates drop, you can always refinance.
Right.
Secure. We've seen that prices right now, for the most part, are flat, but that's not going to stay that way. Real estate cycles tend to run in about 7-year cycles. We're halfway through year 4.
Okay.
So, real estate has to be a long-term investment, not a short-term gamble. And so buyers who wait for perfect conditions end up frustrated because there are always going to be uncertainty somewhere. Rates, prices, inventory, geopolitical issues, the economy.
Yeah.
Another smart summer strategy is being open-minded. Oftentimes buyers overpay because they're chasing the fully updated, picture-perfect home that every other buyer wants to. But buyers willing to do simple cosmetic updates, frankly, things like paint, floor coverings, those are easy. Landscaping, they can be a better value. This doesn't have to be an HGTV, you know, lakefront rehab. Okay.
Yeah.
It can be just a refreshening. So I think this is something that almost everyone struggles with today because social media has convinced us every home has to look like a magazine. So I'm curious what you think, if you think HGTV and social media have made buyers expect homes to be absolutely perfect.
Yes. And it's just one of the more reasons where I'm like, I'm so over social media.
Right.
But yes.
Well, the reality.
It's not realistic. Yeah.
No, the reality is some of the best opportunities are homes with good bones that simply need small updates. At the end of the day, the successful buyers this summer are going to be the ones who stay patient, realistic, and don't let emotions completely take over. And having a good realtor guide who is willing to sit down when you find the house, sit down and quickly run a market analysis that can, or that agent who asks you those questions. So, do you want to pay for this formal living and room and dining room? How often will you use it? Well, we use it at Christmas and Easter. Are there other options that would be less expensive? This market actually rewards the prepared buyer, and buyers who know their numbers, who are willing to negotiate. Don't be timid about that. Don't let your agent be timid. Buyers who think long-term instead of panicking over short-term headlines. And honestly, that's how you buy smart this summer without feeling like you overpaid later.
Interesting. I'm just thinking about some older styles because, you know, there's always different design, like that formal living room and dining room, which just isn't a thing anymore. How many people, back in my day, my grandmother, you had the formal living room. The couches were covered in plastic. There were runners on the carpet. It's like, we never use that room.
Well, I know.
And it's like, what's the point then?
In my search, these houses were built in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And there were two bedrooms and a den. And then they have a dining room, bar stools, and a nook. Well, with the way computers have downsized, we want three bedrooms. We're going to turn that den into a bedroom. And we're going to put the computer desk, little tiny desk, in the nook.
Yeah.
Because we don't need three areas for two people to eat.
No. It's amazing. So. It's interesting how it's just changed and evolved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, we'll get some information on the South Haven cottages. Always Amy McLeod. Always great information. Always great to see you.
Yeah,
thank
good
you.
Good to see you guys. Happy summer.
Yes. Yes. All right. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Go out and enjoy the day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.